Today is July the 11th, 2023. I'm Jen Wyden with the Jeffersonville Township Public Library conducting interviews for Some Like It Hot, Tales from the Firehouse. I'm here today with Deputy Fire Chief Jason Sharp of the Jeffersonville Fire Department. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So how long have you been with the department?
So I just celebrated my 23-year anniversary with the department.
And how long have you been the Deputy Chief?
Well, I started, I guess it's been close to 3 years now, yeah.
This was right at the start of the pandemic, right?
Right. Well, yeah, right around the front end of it, yeah.
So what made you want to become a firefighter?
Well, you know, I grew up in Old Clarksville, and we lived right across the street from the fire station on Stansford Avenue. And, you know, seeing all those firefighters out there, you know, listen to them get dispatched on calls and watching them race down the street, It was just such a great experience, and you know, I finally went over there, got to meet a lot of those guys, and those guys pretty much raised me, you know, growing up. So I guess it's almost kind of like following in like almost like a father's footsteps, because you know, I mean, being there at such a young age and getting to know all those people, I mean, it was what I knew, you know, it was what I was introduced to, and I found a passion for it and fell in love with it.
So if you weren't a firefighter, what do you think you'd be doing?
Oh, most likely I would be either a first responder in a different capacity or maybe even in the military. Those would probably be the two things that I would probably most likely be in.
So what are some of the challenges of your job, either as the deputy chief or when you were online?
Oh, wow. So... there's so many challenges in this realm of public service, you know, and I think each rank within the department has its own unique set of challenges. The hardest challenge at first was getting hired, you know. A lot of the departments around here, and they have all like different hiring mm-hmm. practices and stuff. Only have a handful of people, or less than a handful really, that leave every year, so these openings are kind of few and far between to get. So just getting on was a challenge, and then once you get started on the department, getting to know everybody on a close and personal level, and you really have to, because you know, you learn to depend on each other and lean on each other. I mean, there's things that the guys at the firehouse know about you that not a whole lot of other people know, and you know, things that's going on with your family and stuff. But you know, that's a little bit of a challenge, especially walking into a new group of people. And then as you progress, you learn how to drive the fire trucks. That's very challenging, because now you're having to drive these big trucks on emergency calls, and you know, knowing how to operate them safely. Then transitioning into a company officer, you know, you actually have to start making decisions that can really impact the way that an entire incident is going to flow, how it's going to run. So, you know, there's a lot of things to do when you're riding in the front seat. You know, you're trying to give directions to the driver because you might want to hit a hydrant in a certain location, or you might need to avoid a certain area because you know the road's going to be closed. You need to kind of formulate, you know, in your mind a little bit about what you're going to do when you get on scene, but you can't let that get too far ahead of you because you don't want to have tunnel vision, you know. And then you got to quickly assess, you know, what's going on and what's your plan of attack is going to be. And then as you move past that and get into more command level operations, you know, there's the employee challenges and stuff. You know, Jeff's grown by leaps and bounds, even over the last 20 years that I've been here. You know, I mean, when I first got hired, we had 3 stations and 48 firefighters. Now we run, you know, 5 stations and we have 92 firefighters. So, you know, when you grow, there's obviously more things that you have to take into consideration. We're just coming off of a pandemic that changed the way that we do things. You know, there's always things that changes the ways that you do your job. And that's just going to be part of it. You're going to have to accept it.
It's just so, life. Things change.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to get used to working those 24-hour shifts when you first started out?
You know, It wasn't very difficult to work the 24-hour shifts. It was difficult to have more free time than what I had in the past because, you know, when you go from working Monday through Friday, you know, you're usually on the same schedule as, like, all your friends and all your family. Then when you go working 24-hour shifts, you know, you're off at a lot of times that your friends and family are not. So you have to find different things to occupy your time. It was much easier getting used to working the 24-hour shifts than it was going back to working 8-hour shifts. You know, I mean, when me and my wife got married, you know, I had already been working 24-hour shifts. You know, that's what we knew. And, you know, it was always funny, too, because the 24-hour shift things always comes up, especially with the new firefighters and then, you know, those that have families and stuff. And I used to ask them pretty frequently when I was their captain. I'm like, so how are you, you know, dealing with the 24-hour shifts? And it's always the same. It's like, oh, well, the wife doesn't much like or whatever, you know. And I'm like, oh, don't worry. It's going to come a day where they're going to be like, so when do you go back to the firehouse again? Because that's the time that they learn to, you know, have their freedom and go do the things that they want to do and everything. So it works out. But transitioning back to the 8-hour shifts were actually much harder than doing 24-hour shifts. And I was like, man, I hope my wife still loves me when I go, you know, because I'm going to be home every night.
I'm sure she's adjusted.
Oh, she has. She likes me being home, so it works out. So,
what are some of the best parts of your job?
Oh, wow. So, I find a lot of gratification in serving the public, you know, being able to help people solve problems. Being able to help people manage their way through some of the most difficult periods in their lives. I find that very rewarding. It's difficult at times. There's times that you carry these people's situations with you, and, you know, sometimes they're easier, a little more easier than others, but, you know, you find that, you know, your experiences throughout this career will help guide those people through those circumstances.
Yeah, because you see people a lot of times at their worst days.
You do, yeah. Yeah, you really do. You know, usually something's going really bad. I mean, if somebody's calling 911, most likely they're experiencing their worst or one of the worst days that they have ever had. And when we show up, it is our job to help solve the problem. And sometimes we can't. That's actually probably the hardest thing is that, you know, when there's nothing you can do, mm-hmm. you know, other than just maybe, you know, embrace somebody or offer your condolences. That's hard. For a first responder, it's really hard to be told there's nothing you can do.
So I know there's no, like, typical day, but, like, what do you do when you get to work?
So I think that question is probably different for every different person on the department. For me, when I come in, I usually walk down the hall, and I'm usually greeted with, I have this issue, I have this issue, I have this issue. Hey, I sent you an email. You know, it's. I think it's different for everyone. But usually I come in the mornings. I just kind of receive some, you know, reports about the ongoings, you know, either the night before mm-hmm. or the day before. If anything that needs my attention or somebody else is working on something, they just want to let me know about it.
Because as a deputy chief, what are your responsibilities?
So, my department actually has two deputy chiefs. You have one deputy chief that oversees all the fire stations and buildings and all the apparatus, and that is a tough job. It is a very busy job because, you know, you're talking about buildings that are being constantly occupied, heavy equipment that's constantly being used. Things break, things happen, and our deputy chief of that realm is very busy. Me in my position, what I do is that I'm the deputy chief of administration, so I oversee personnel, I oversee policies and procedures, and, you know, essentially I'm the number two in the line of succession for the department. So you have the chief and then you have me. So that's
what people don't want to get called to your office.
Well, no, typically no. And that's kind of one of the tough things about this position is that, you know, I'm very thankful that, you know, we have a really great dedicated group of firefighters, but even they're not perfect, and things happen sometimes, and it may be few and far between, but when those problems happen, then, you know, you have to be that guy. And, you know, it's hard, especially when it may be somebody that, you know, you have come up through the ranks with, that you have served with. But, you know, my job is to treat people fairly and, you know, make sure that people are operating within the boundaries of our policies and procedures. Now, I like it when people just stop by and say hi and drop
right,
in and say stuff.
Like, yeah.
But, yeah, being called to my office isn't always a good thing. It doesn't always a bad thing either. You know, I just as much as I have to, like, you know, do disciplinary kind of stuff, I really try to take the time to recognize when these firefighters go above and beyond the call. And let me tell you, they do it very frequently. I think the people at Jeff would be very pleased to know the levels that these firefighters will push themselves through in order to win and to succeed.
That's what I've heard from all the ones I've interviewed before you. Mm-hmm. Yep. So is there one call that stands out to you more than others?
As far as, like, that I've done in the past, or the ones that I regret, or I just cringe knowing that it's coming?
Whatever you want to tell us about.
I
mean, it could be, you know, a good call, something fun, humorous that happened, or it could be something that stuck with you for other reasons.
Well, I think I have both. You know, obviously, if you work in this job long enough, you're going to come across things that are tough to digest, the kind of calls that you hope that you never have to make again. And there's also those times and those stories where you and your coworkers may have shared a prank that either on somebody else, or you were the joke of the day, you know, whatever it may be. And I tell people all the time, sometimes you're the fly, sometimes you're the windshield.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have been the fly on many occasions. There's been plenty of times I did not help myself in situations. So, you know, it's just kind of the way it is. But, I think every one of us has those calls that we have made that we just wish we could forget.
What are some misconceptions about firefighting? We see all these fire shows on TV, and I know that all of that is not true.
Yeah, so, you know, there really is, you know. Well, first of all, most fire departments have very strict facial hair policies because, you know, of OSHA regulations and how your mask seals upon your face and it cannot be, you know, broken up. You know, as far as like the different clothes that you wear and everything while you're on duty, you have to be cautious because there's standards and guidelines out there that really kind of dictate what you do there. I think that, and it's just Hollywood doing Hollywood stuff, but, you know, they try and make these, you know, fire shows, or probably even like the ER shows and police shows, a lot more on edge and dramatic than what they are. And, you know, I think that they may, you know, really kind of go a little overboard with how on edge some of these people are all the time. You know, our firehouses are usually filled with a bunch of just good people who just, they kind of cut up. I mean, they're serious when it's time to be serious, you know. But, you know, that's not the pulse of a firehouse.
So these shows, it's like there's always some kind of drama going on.
No, it's usually not like that. I mean, there could be drama of some sort, but it's not usually of that caliber. You know, some of the equipment they use isn't really standard industry equipment. They have to make, like, the face pieces bigger so they can see their faces because, you know, what's the point in hiring, you know, these million-dollar actors if you can't see who's portraying the part,
exactly.
I guess. So there's that. And then, you know, in a lot of these fires they show, you know, where you can see a lot of flames, but you can't see a whole lot of smoke. Most fires that you have is you can't really see anything. It is pitch black.
That's what everybody
It's
has
just
said.
Pitch black and hot. So, you know, you have to learn to use some of your body's other senses, you know. Matter of fact, there's a lot of times when I'm in a fire, or when I used to be in a fire, I would actually close my eyes because I feel like I would be more in tune with those senses that I would really need to have, unless I was using like a thermal imaging camera. And that technology just kind of really kind of come out in the last, you know, several years, you know. But there was a period of time where you were just operating off feel, you know, doing sweeps and stuff like that, you know. And technology has finally caught up a little bit where, you know, you can actually see through the smoke a little more. It's more like looking through a video game than anything, you know. But technology is pretty cool. So there's a few examples for you.
So this question probably does not apply to you now, but a lot of firefighters have side jobs.
Uh-huh.
Did you have side jobs?
Oh, yeah. I had a couple of them. So I had – it's like what we talked about. It's like, you know, when you get used to working these, you know, 24-hour shifts, you know, the typical – you since you work 24 hours, you usually work about 10 days a month. So you need to find things to do to the rest of your time. And that's what most firefighters do. Most firefighters start like a little side hustle or have a side business or something. And I first started out doing some light hauling, debris cleanup at like work sites and stuff like that. And then I ended up starting a lawn and landscape business. But after I got married and, you know, my wife started her business or anything, I just let it go. You know, I was tired of working all the time. You know, I had a family, so.
Yep. So how does being a firefighter affect your home life?
It's good and bad, I guess, kind of times. You know, I think that I'm usually a little bit more observant with things than what people, than most people like. You know, my situational awareness, you know, anytime I walk into a business, I'm always looking at where the exits are. You know, I don't like having my back to the doors, you know, just different tactical stuff, but just things that I've learned from the fire department as well. You know, I see things that most people don't see, they don't pay attention to. You know, there's been times where I've come home off shift and, you know, I would have to just tell my wife I was going downstairs to be by myself, and I'd spend a little time downstairs by myself, and she would usually knew what that mean, you know. I mean, and that's why that relationship with the people that you work with is so important, and even having access to, you know, professional care and everything, because a lot of times you don't want to dump those things on to people that you love. You don't want them to know the kind of stuff that you've endured, and sometimes it just falls out, you know. But you know, that I say that's probably how it affects it the most. I'm real particular. My wife likes candles, and I like candles too, but I'm real particular on you know, making sure that we don't like leave candles burning and stuff. And
I don't want to burn your house down as a deputy fire chief.
No, but I tell you what though, and my wife kind of gets on me a little bit. I don't know why I've gotten so bad at this. Is like, you know, when I get done like using the oven, sometimes I forget to turn the oven off. And my wife has to come behind me. And she's like, I cannot believe you are the deputy chief of the fire department. And half the time I got to come up behind you and turn the oven off. But
you're also human at the end of the day.
I know. But,
and
you
we
know,
all
she,
do.
She's not wrong, but it's just the way it is.
Things happen.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give anyone that wants to be a firefighter?
Well, I would say that the fire department job encompasses a lot of skills and necessities that require a lot of different things. First of all, I'm sorry, you need to be physically fit. You know, this job is a physical job, and just to get your foot in the door takes some pretty serious testing to do so. So your physical fitness is an important thing. Intelligence, the tests to get into the door on the fire department now are more challenging than what they've ever been. And it's competitive. It is very competitive. So if you want to compete, you're going to have to be a good test taker, and you're going to have to learn how to study material. You need to understand that this job is constantly changing. You know, in just the 23 years that I've been on this department, the department that we are now versus the department we were when I first came on is unrecognizable. The requirements of you, the things that you have to know, you know, when I first came on, you know, which was pre-9/11, you know, we fought fires and we made med calls every once in a while. And then after 9/11 and Hurricane Sandy and Hurricane Katrina and, you know, everything in between leading through, you know, COVID-19 pandemic, all those things have dramatically changed the way that I do my job. And I've had to adapt, you know. So better be adaptable and just get comfortable with the thought that you're in a job where you're just going to have to learn to be uncomfortable. Because fires happen at night. They happen when it's cold. They happen when it's hot. You know, you do not get to dictate the conditions. You know, things will happen when you don't want them to, but you have to endure them.
So is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
No.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well,